Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium. Okay, folks, well, here we are. Welcome into episode 300 of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. Still kind of a shock that we're here, to be honest with you. You know, not because I was planning on quitting or anything like that right out of the gate, but, you know, I just didn't really even have a vision for exactly what this show would become when I started it. And today I just wanted to take a couple of minutes to thank you out there, yeah, you right there listening right now, for your support and for spreading the word about this show. And to kind of reflect on what 300 episodes of Bartholomew Town has meant to me. And I get to hear from you, whether it's in my email inbox, on the street, phone call, whatever it is, you know, the messages on social media. You know, I do hear from a lot of you throughout the course of the week, and it means a lot. You know, your feedback means a lot. Your criticism means a lot. Your interest in a story that we've covered and how you yourself have gotten engaged in something that has been brought to your attention because of the podcast. That means a lot to me. But I just wanted to share how much it means to me that we've gotten this thing going. You know, when I started it back in, we launched in 2018, the idea kind of came to fruition. I sort of started templating ideas in late 2017. And frankly, originally, this was an idea for me to flex my creative muscles and try out broadcasting, which is something that I've always had a massive passion for. Many of you know I love talk radio. I've always loved that. You know, when I would watch golf or pro wrestling as a little kid, it was all about the broadcasters. You know, I love the show. I love the performers, the athletes. But, you know, for me in wrestling, there was nothing better than Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan, you know, the two greatest broadcasters of all time in WWF. Back when I was like an eight, 9-year-old kid. That's what drew me in. I fell in love with the radio. I fell in love with local news, the power of local news to convey stories that could bring communities together around issues, get people talking at a very early age. And it's just something that I've always had a great deal of passion for. I actually started out when I went to school. I went to URI. I started out by taking communications classes thinking that, hey, you know, this is where I want to go. I want to become a broadcast journalist. I took journalism classes. Ultimately, I pivoted to political science. And as many of you know, I went and spent 10 years in Brooklyn writing songs and traveling around and playing in bands and doing that whole world, which I'm still a part of. But deep down inside, I knew that I had a calling or an interest or a place in the broadcasting world. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know where it would be or how it would work out, but I always felt like it was something I had to do. So when I started this show, it came on the heels of me returning to Rhode Island after a decade in New York, and frankly, starting to listen to a lot of talk radio, a lot of local talk radio on WPRO, and calling into the station 2-3 times, sometimes 4 times a day, I'd call into the sports show as William in Newport, and challenging the hosts, kind of sometimes mouthing off, sometimes agreeing, whatever, and starting to flex that muscle of, okay, you've got 30 seconds, you're going to call in, Matt Allen's on the other line, there's however many tens of thousands of people listening, and you've got to make your point succinctly, and you've got to be well prepared if this is going to be entertaining for the listeners, and if it's going to be engaging for the host to go back and forth on. So I really got started with that approach. And when I started Bartholomew Town, my thought was, okay, let me see if I can do this on a longer form scale. Let me see if I can, rather than formulating these talk radio calls of 30 to 120 seconds, what if that same idea can be expanded to something like 25, 30, 45 minutes? And at the beginning, when I listened back to the original episodes, you know, with Lieutenant Governor at the time, Lieutenant Governor, now Governor Dan McKee, Ben DeCastro, a bunch of musicians, and the early phases of the 2018 election. You know, I kind of cringe. I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, I can't believe anybody actually listened to this. But at the same time, I hear a passion. I hear a spirit that was there and a desire. And once I started to realize that there was a space here in Rhode Island for a podcast that was oriented around news, media, politics, arts and culture, and so on and so forth. And I realized that slowly but surely, you know, people were starting to discover the show and the numbers every episode or every month. You started to see more people get interested. And then as the 2018 election really came into the prominence, if you will, it became the major issue of the day. The candidates, by and large, were starting to stop by my loft and do episodes, and they would push it out to their people. And all of a sudden, in that first year, I really started to feel like there was a place for me. I felt like it was more or less part of the alternative media spectrum. I felt like it was very niche-oriented, but nonetheless, there was a reason to keep going. As time moved along, and as opportunities presented themselves to me, Jim Hummel calling, reaching out, asking me to become a panelist on A Lively Experiment on PBS. WPRO calling, asking me to fill in for Dan York and subsequently basically become a part of the fill-in roster over there, which I still am. Pieces of content of mine being picked up by Channel 10 or the Providence Journal. Whatever it was, as it started to become more and more part of the mainstream circuit, I realized that this show doesn't have to be necessarily targeted towards people who said, I don't watch the news. I don't care about it. I'll listen to some podcast with a musician and that's good enough. I realized it could be partially that, but that it also could grow to become something that was part of the day-to-day conversation, that the stories that we engaged here on the podcast and the newsmaking that occurred on occasion here in Bartholomew Town could drive the narrative on a statewide and a regional basis. Once that all started to become clear to me, so too did the notion that this was a great responsibility, that this platform was no longer a personal pet project, it was no longer an experiment, but it was in fact a part of the Rhode Island media landscape. Now that may seem a little bit self-congratulatory, but I do mean it in the realistic sense of it became part of the Rhode Island media landscape, and the listenership grew exponentially, certainly over the last year and a half. During COVID, we saw a massive expansion of people, I think in general, looking for local news, but here on Bartholomew Town, it became a major growth point. During the social justice movements of this past summer, we saw exponential growth, and just in general, we just saw lots more people adding this to their media diet. And I'm not saying that they listened to Bartholomew Town and turned off anything else, but I think people became more open to the idea of an independent outlet serving in a quote-unquote mainstream capacity. That, to me, is an extremely exciting concept, and it's something I'm extremely proud of, and I hope more people take advantage of. I think we have a long way to go before we're going to be reaching, what are there, a million Rhode Islanders, you know, before most Rhode Islanders, I guess, right? More than, what, 500,000 people are listening to this. But enough of you are out there that this thing has gotten real. I wake up every day extremely motivated to deliver you the absolute best possible content I can, whether it's in terms of the interviews we do here on the show, whether it's in terms of the news that we do on social media, or the other platforms that I'm a part of, whether it's over on Rhode Island PBS Weekly, on WPRO, any number of other places. I am committed to bring you content that is outstanding, that you're not going to find anywhere else, and give you a perspective, at minimum, a perspective, even if the story's somewhere else, a perspective and a tone that you're not necessarily going to find in any of the other outstanding media outlets and formats that we have here in the state. There have been so many people that have helped me along the way here to get to the point where I've got 300 episodes, which, by the way, for the most part, I have not made a dime off of this. We do have sponsors that have come in We do have our Patreon page. I do receive unsolicited donations from people from time to time. But the big picture, I mean, I'm guessing we're not, we're certainly not a for-profit operation in the sense of that I'm cashing out on this or anything like that. We want to be. Make no mistake about it. The idea is for this to grow into something that is extremely sustainable, that we can continue to bring on more and more people, different voices, perhaps even different programs and shows down the line. That is in the goal set, if you will, for me at this point, something that I didn't think was necessarily realistic even a year and a half, 2 years ago. But the reason I do this is because I love the work, I love the state, I love the stories, and I love the people. And that includes all of you out there who listen. And again, whether you agree, you disagree, you call me a maniac on Twitter, whether you say this show is amazing, it's all the same to me in terms of engagement. And I'm deeply appreciative of it because you gave me an opportunity to find my voice, which I'm still finding, and you gave me a chance to try to insert something new into this media market that, frankly, I'm surprised no one had done and no one has really done since. Yes, there are some other podcasts here in Rhode Island, but again, no one has really taken the notion of this thing can be more than just a niche alternative media outlet. It can, in fact, be a part of the media diet. What's the difference between a radio station that emerged in 1924 or a television station that emerged in 1945 and a podcast that emerged in 2018? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Someday, we're going to see tons of Bartholomew Towns in Rhode Island, all over the country. We're going to see outlets that are currently broadcasting or producing content in traditional, quote-unquote, platforms, on traditional platforms, start to do so in this format as their primary means of distribution. We're going to see independents emerge and start to bring different perspectives to the table in a way that they're not currently doing, and they certainly hadn't done in the past. What I want to say to you right now is that we're just getting started. We're just freaking getting started. Episode 300, starting to get a groove, just figuring out what this thing is going to be. Just getting started in terms of the reach. Just getting started in terms of the in-depth preparation that goes into doing each of these episodes. Just getting started in terms of the entertainment value of the show itself. You know, as a musician, as someone who loves performance, that is such a big part of broadcast media. And I want to up the ante tenfold in terms of the entertainment value of what you're getting. These are all things I think about every day. Things I think about all the time. How can we improve this operation from a reporting standpoint? And something I really, really want to continue to work on is bringing you more voices. And we've got some people, we've got interns, we've got the foundation nurturing some ideas, nurturing some people, getting ready to bring you some, again, new voices and new perspectives on these topics. But it wouldn't be without you. You know, it wouldn't be without you. You know, I'm not some rich kid that dumped a bunch of money to do this. I didn't get some big investor or some big sponsor and say, let's do this. I did this because of passion. And a passion to broadcast, a passion to serve in politics, a passion to create. And the fact that we're at episode 300, that we've had multiple shows with senators, governors, national artists, national business leaders, you know, local celebrities in the terms of the media landscape, and frankly, people that I consider to be mentors now that were originally more like heroes. You know, I would not be able to do what I do if not for the fact that I have been able to give myself an unbelievable education by following around some of the best broadcast journalists that are in the country that are here in Rhode Island. People like Jim Hummel, Steve Klamkin, you know, being at news conferences and watching them work, everything from when to ask questions, how to ask questions, from a technical standpoint, from a mentorship standpoint. You know, the great journalist here in the state, like Dan McGowan of the Boston Globe, you know, and studying what he has done and how he not only executes journalism, but found his voice and was able to convey that in a way that was credible, authentic, and mutually interesting to people who agreed and disagreed with him. You know, I'm thankful for all of the people out there who are elected officials, policy people, people inside state government who have embraced this program, who have embraced me, have given me a shot to be inside the state house, to be inside the halls of government, to be inside press conferences, to get me credentialed as a media outlet here at the city, the state level, whatever. To the activists out there who have, in spite of understandable skepticism of media, who have given me the opportunity to share their stories, to cover them, to learn about them, who have sat down with me and spent hours upon hours explaining their worldviews to me, bringing me into their world. To the Democrats, the independents, and the Republicans who have done just that, who have allowed me to understand their perspective, to understand where they're coming from, and want to be able to present a fair and balanced perspective, while at the same time honoring my own empathy and honoring my own gut instinct, being able to respond to what the community needs on a day-to-day basis, and being able to respond to what the community needs in the big picture. I'm just very grateful for so many voices out there that are on the airwaves here, that are part of Rhode Island media. Ian Donis, Scott McKay, Bill Rapoli, Michelle San Miguel, Bill Haberman, the writers of the Providence Journal and the Boston Globe, the smaller newspapers, Jim Terracani. You know, without the feedback of these individuals, I'm not sure that I would have been able to provide a mirror to myself to be able to understand how to pivot, how to correct the things that weren't working and quadruple down on the things that were working. There's so many people out there who have been so supportive of this program. Dante Bellini Jr., Ben DeCastro, people who understand when there's a need to be filled in a community in terms of media or otherwise, and understood that we could fill that need with Bartholomew Town, and helped me figure out how to do it better. But more than anything, more than anyone else, more than anything else, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the opportunity to let me into your earbuds, your car, your laptop, wherever it is, and do this. And I appreciate your trust, and I appreciate your willingness to work with me to make the Bartholomew Town podcast not only Rhode Island's number one podcast, but a part of the mainstream diet here in Rhode Island, which I truly believe we've become. I do not think of this program as alternative media. I do not think of this show as niche broadcasting. We are as relevant as anything. And the only reason has nothing to do with me. And this is genuinely my position. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you out there. You, the listeners, decide what's relevant. And because of your commitment to this show, and by commitment, I mean playing it, not even every episode, you know, whatever, understanding it's out there and it's there for you, we have found our way into a position that when this whole thing started, I never could have dreamed of. And like I said, we're just getting started. Thank you so much, and I can't wait for the next 300 episodes. We'll talk soon.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.